Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, it's working today. Thank you, Bill. Bill does a good work. Let's give it up for him. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Last night, we had, this is a preacher's count, we had 100 kids. But I think it was actually close. And so I think if you got, thanks for coming out and spending time with us and giving the kids cavities, it was all worth it. But we had a good time out there. A little windy, wasn't it? So I had to go home and get all my hair cut off. So if you don't recognize me, that's actually had it cut before that. But we had a good time last night. How many of you remember to turn your clocks back? All right. If we have people showing up any minute now, we'll know that they forgot to turn their clocks back. But it's good for you to be here this morning. Got a lot going on this week. Might be in prayer for the Hutchinson family. They lost Mary Wilson. Some of you knew about that. And there's some others on our prayer list that really need our attention. I don't know what's going to happen with COVID. I just want you to know that this morning. But as a church, I'll speak on behalf of all the elders. We're doing our best to stay open. We're going to try to do that. And so please keep that in prayer. The kids, I guess, are going to shut down after Thanksgiving break. So we need to be in prayer for them and prayer for their families because they're going to be home. And mom and dad's not used to them being around all the time. So pray for us, please. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 25. We are in a series, The Parables of Jesus. Last week we took a break and we talked about elders and deacons in the church. And if you didn't get to hear that because our Facebook shut down, there is a website. We can give it to you later on if you want to hear that. But I thought that was important to talk about. We've had several positive candidates for leaders in the church, amen? So we thank you guys for being willing to step up and help us out and grow the church of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about another parable of Jesus. Some say this is probably the top three, if you will, the Good Samaritan. And this one here is a parable of the talents, and it's up there towards the top. The lost sheep was another big one there, but this is a very popular parable. And I think the reason it's so popular is because a lot of people don't understand it. They don't understand what Jesus is really trying to say here. Some of the ones we've already covered was the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the vineyard workers, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast, the parable of the rich fool, the parable of the cloth and the wineskins. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins. And these parables are all about what? Second coming of Christ. Can I just tell you today that Jesus Christ is coming back? I don't know when. But as I look around our world today, I'm telling you, seems pretty close. Anybody agree with that? Now, we're not to predict when he's coming, and I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you, things are playing out in our world today, and Jesus is going to part the sky someday, and he's going to take us home. This sermon this morning is about being ready. It's about taking the talents that God has given you and use them for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. So this morning I want to look at these parables, the parable of the talents. And I want you to know that it's not just for someone else, it's for us. We tend to take these parables and say, well, that's talking about the Jewish world. No, it's talking about us. So these parables, I want you to put yourself in these parables as we read them. So turn over to Matthew 25. I want to focus on verses 11 or 14 through 30. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about the man who was discussing with his preacher the fact that he had many hidden talents. And a preacher said, well, what hidden talents do you have? And he said, I don't know. They're hidden. I think that's the way we are sometimes. Our talents are hidden and we don't want to use them. Well, let's see what Jesus says here, beginning with verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave what? 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents of money. And to another, 1 talent of money, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Some translations say a long journey. Anybody else have a long journey in your Bible? Some translations say that. He went on a long journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. But the one who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who had received the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. Here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in the Life Application Bible, I don't know if any of you have that at home, the word talent is rendered bags of gold. Five bags of gold, two bags of gold, one bag of gold. And I don't have a problem with that translation, especially with the parable of the talents. Because here, a talent is referring to money. And the kind of talent that Jesus is talking about focuses on money. Write this down, if you will, in the blanks. A talent would have been 75 pounds of precious gold. 75 pounds. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's a lot of gold. And the worth of one talent would have been 20 years worth of wages. Now, that's a lot. That would have been thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But I also want you to know something about this parable. It is not limited to money. And in the second blank, I want you to write the word personability. Because I believe this talent is also talking about the gifts that God has given us to be used for the furtherance of His kingdom. Now, you may be sitting here this morning, and you might be thinking this, Carson, I don't have any abilities. I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts that God has given me. How many of you feel that way? Be careful. Oh. Got some, raise their hand. I want you to know that God has given every one of you at least one talent, one spiritual gift. Now, that may be in the form of money. In this case, it would have been 20 years worth of wages. But I believe that Jesus is also talking about, I have given you a gift, use it. Use it. I have a friend back home, and she came to me, and I preached on spiritual gift from Romans. And I said, every one of you has been given a gift. And she confronted me after the service. And she said, Carson, I've not been given any spiritual gift. I said, yeah, you have. No, I haven't. Yeah, you have. No, I haven't. So we got in this little bit of an argument. And I won't tell you her name. But I said, did you send me a card the other day? She goes, I did. I said, I knew it was you, even though you didn't sign your name. I said, do you realize that what you do is a spiritual gift from God? Because she is one of those ladies, and you probably have one in this church, she is one of those ladies that know when you're down in the dump. She knows when things are not going good, and she'll send you a card. Do you know anybody in this church like that? She just knows. She has this spiritual inkling, and I want you to know that's a gift. That's a talent from God. And I appreciate her so much because I was in an area in my life where I was having a rough week. I was down in the dumps. She sent me a card, and it picked me up so much. And you know, when you send me a nice card, I keep those cards. Now, when you send me a nasty card, please don't do that, because I won't keep your card. I'll throw it in the trash. I have a good file, and I have a bad file. Guess where the bad file goes? She had a spiritual gift. Now, obviously, when you look at this talent right in your Bibles, the master is talking about Jesus. The servants who? Servants us. The ones that he's entrusted things to. And I want you also see in the Bible, because we've been talking about this a lot, it says, after a long time, verse 19. What's he talking about? After a long time. He's talking about the span between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. Seems like a long time, you think about 2,000 years, but it's not really that long. When you keep that in context with eternity, I want you to know, for you to be faithful on this earth with the time that God has given you, and the average lifespan's, what, 82 years now? Some of you are past that, praise God. But the average lifespan's about 82 years, and God has given you 82 years to be faithful. Well, here's a question, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And that's important to note, because there are many people, many Christians in our world today who have given up, they've thrown in the towel, and they've said this, what's the use? Well, here's the use. The use is the fact that Jesus is going to come back, and each and every one of us, one by one, is going to stand before God. And we've got to give an account. And I'm not going to go to heaven because my grandma and grandpa went there. I'm not going to go to heaven because my mom and dad went there. I'm going to go to heaven because of me and what I've done. What I've done with the talent that God has given me. This talent is for me. It's for you. Now, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. He can come back today. Amen. But let me ask you a question. Are you ready for that? Do you know anybody in your family? Do you know anybody in your realm of friendship? Do you know anybody that's not ready? Do you have family members that you yearn and you pray for that's not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? But he's coming. Say it with me. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon, he's coming. And when I look at this parable of the talent, it tells me, if I'm not ready, I better get ready. I also want you to write this somewhere in your bulletin. Every talent that you've been given demands a responsibility. I'll say it again. Every talent that you've been given, whether it's in the form of money or in the form of gifts, every talent demands a responsibility. It demands a response. Our talents are not to be ignored, they're not to be neglected, and they're definitely not to be buried in the hole somewhere in the ground. They're to be used by God. It amazes me how many people I run into that have multiple talents given them by God, and they're not using them for the church. If you have been given the gift of singing, you should sing. Now, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but some of you cannot sing. I've sat in front of you, and that is not your spiritual gift. Find what it is. If you have the gift of teaching, or if you have the gift of preaching, you need to do that. You need to teach. If you've been given the gift of prayer, you need to pray. And I want you to know, our world needs prayer, amen? Our church needs prayer. Do you believe me? Lawrence County needs prayer. We need prayer. Our schools need prayer. Our children need prayer. Our parents need prayer. Our principals, our teachers, our counselors, they all need prayer. If you have been blessed with the gift of money or talents, then use that money wisely for the upbuilding of the kingdom and send it to the mission field. Romans 12, 6 through 8, it's not on your outlines, but write it down. We have different gifts according to the grace given us to each of us. If it is prophesy, let him prophesy in accordance with his faith. It is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, how many of you are encouragers here this morning? A lot of you are, may not know it. He says, then let him give encouragement. If it is giving, let him give generously. If it is leading, let him lead diligently. And if it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, God has given every single one of you a talent. And if you don't use it, you will lose it. And not only will you lose it, but on the day of judgment, God will take that talent away from you and he'll give it to someone else. Oh, what a sad day that will be. Now, in your bulletins, pull them out. I want to give you four basic truths that we need to remember from this parable of the talents. Number one, everything belongs to God. Pretty simple, right? Everything belongs to God. Everything you live in, everything you drive, everything you wear, and everything you've worked hard for to get, it still belongs to God. I give my kids a hard time about jeans with holes in them. I said, you know, when I was a kid, we used to take those jeans that had holes in them and we'd throw them in the trash. Now you go over here to Kohl's and you're going to pay $60 for a pair of jeans that have holes in them. How many of you kids got holes in your jeans this morning? I know it's the style and that's okay, but I'm very old-fashioned. But did you know that everything that you have, everything you wear, everything you drive belongs to God? It's His. I have a whole garage full of stuff. And my wife asks me on a daily basis, what are we going to do about your stuff? And I say, when I die, have a garage sale, have parents come in here, have them auction it off, and be done with it. Don't worry about it. But you know what? All that stuff in my garage, where you're supposed to put your car, by the way, all that stuff is God's. Everything I have is God's. That's humbling, isn't it? Because we work so hard. For what, 45 years? We work so hard to have what we have, and then we die. And I've had people in my life that I'd actually worked side by side, and they died 1 week after retirement. You know anybody like that? You want to know why? Because they spent their whole life at work, working as many hours as they could to get more stuff to please the people they don't even like. Stuff. It all belongs to God. Friends, I want you to know that you are a bondservant. You are a bondservant for God. You are a bondservant for the kingdom of God. And in Romans 6:22, it tells us, when we give our lives to Christ, we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. And the benefits we reap leads to holiness. That's godly living. And eventually, the result will be eternal life. Did you know you're a slave? Some of you think, yeah, I'm a slave to my husband. And some of you are thinking, yep, I'm a slave to my wife. I do exactly what she says. When she says it, she says jump, I say hi. No, you're not a slave to your spouse. You're a slave to the Most High God. You're a bondservant. That's who you are. Everything we have, everything we own, everything we see, it's God's. God says in Psalm 50, 10 through 12, every animal in the forest is mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills, they're mine. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures in the field, they're mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is all mine. That's it. It's all mine. Don't you love the psalmist? He puts things in perspective when we get things out of perspective. Everything we have is God's. We went to Dinky's Friday night. Anybody ever been to Dinky's? I love Dinky's. They have cheap stuff and good stuff, Amish-made stuff. My wife and little girl came up to me and she said, Daddy, can I have this little bunny? Well, when Mama's standing right there, you might as well say yes. So some of you saw Macy's little bunny last night. And I said, Macy, do you know the bunny grows up and we have to eat it? Oh, yeah, I know, Dad. No, you don't know. Bunnies get bigger. Bunnies make mess. They make messes. Just like chickens, Jim. They make messes. They do. But you know what? Macy, sorry, the bunny's all God's, right? It's all His. And everything you have is His. And I've never seen a money truck fall on a hearse, have you? And when we die, we all die empty. We all die naked, Job says. Naked I came, naked I return. Blessed be, happy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Secondly, God expects something from everybody, no matter how much you've been giving. God expects something from everybody, no matter how much you've been given. Now, I want you to notice something very important from this parable. There is a reason that the master gave 1 5 talents. There is a reason he gave another one 2 talents. And there is a reason he gave what? The third guy, one talent. You know why I think it is? I believe the guy with the one talent couldn't handle five talents. I believe he couldn't even handle two talents. As a matter of fact, he couldn't even handle one talent. He went out and hid that talent in the ground because he was lazy. Friends, I want you to know there are people in our world and in our churches that God is going to give more talents, more abilities because they can handle it. There are some people in our churches that God is going to give two talents or two abilities because they can handle it. And there are some that God's only going to give one. Now you have a choice. You can either take it and you can use it, or you can lose it. The bottom line is this: God can trust some Christians in the multiplication of talents, and there's others He cannot trust. But I want you to know that if you're breathing, if you're taking oxygen here this morning, God has given you a talent and you better be using it. There's an old saying in the church, it's called the 20-80 rule. Anybody want to comment on that? 20% of the members are doing 80% of the work. So here's the deal. Don't let that be the case at Central Christian Church. Let's do the 100-100. Anybody agree with that? Everybody be involved in something. And if you're not involved in anything, take an initial step and say, I want to do something. Come to me in my office and say, I want to do something. I'm not going to pick on him, but I am going to tell you, I know somebody. His health is failing. He called me on the phone and he said, Carson, is there anything that I can do to help you? Amen. Is there anything I can do to help you? And I know there was a lot of things he couldn't do because of his health issues, but I do know one thing. His heart was in the right place, and he wanted to be used by God for the furtherance of the talent that God has given him. And I want you to know, whether your health is bad or whether it's good, you can still pick up a phone. You can still call somebody. You can still invite somebody to church. You can still ask them, hey, are you a baptized believer in Christ? You can still do that. It doesn't take a lot of your health to do that. You know, I'm on Facebook, some of you know. Some of you are on there with me. And I'm getting behind. I do have Instagram, but now they have Snapchat. I don't know anything about Snapchat. How many of you have Snapchat? I'm snapping behind. But you know what? This is just another way where we can communicate with one another, like inviting someone to church. Asking this question, hey, how are you doing? Are you staying out of trouble? Are you doing what God want you to do, because God's watching you. In Mark 12, 41 through 44, the Bible says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put, and he watched the crowd put in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, putting in everything she had to live on. Friends, Jesus is more concerned with the motivation of your heart than he is the motivation of your pocketbook. He wants you to give from your heart. He wants you to give the very best you have. In Luke 12:41, he says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. So if God has blessed you with much, I want you to do a personal evaluation of your life. What am I doing? What am I giving? God has blessed me. Let me use that for the kingdom of God. God expects something from everybody, everyone sitting here this morning. The third lesson: Jesus Christ is coming back to claim what is rightfully His. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it says in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and he settled accounts with them. Now this is very common in most of the parables we're going to talk about, and some that we've already looked about. It's the idea of being ready no matter how long Christ tarries. I have a minister friend, and he told me one time, I believe Christ is coming back in my lifetime. You don't know that. Is Jesus Christ coming in your lifetime? You don't know that. But I do know one thing. You will be judged. Whether he comes in our lifetime or whether he comes while we're dead, we're going to be raised to life someday, and we've got to stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, whether you stand before God when you die immediately, that's kind of what I believe, or when you stand before God once the resurrection takes place, it doesn't matter. You're still going to stand before God. And we've got to be productive with the talents that he's given us. I know that it's easy during this pandemic to get discouraged. Anybody guilty of that? But I want you to take the time that you have been given during this pandemic to clean up your garage, which you've been putting off, to do those honeydew jobs that you've been putting off, get caught up on your bills, get caught up on your taxes, get caught up on the things you need to do, rake the leaves that you've been putting off for 2 weeks. You know what I'm talking about. Be productive with the time God's given you. Some of you say, well, I get to spend more time with my family. Well, sometimes that's a bad thing. Some of you are laughing. You know what I'm talking about. Get out of my hair. Go out and do something. I know. But as I get older, I have noticed that it's very easy for me to be unproductive. Anyone else? I can go through an entire day and write down the things that I've done. I said, man, what a waste of day. I didn't do much. One of my favorite shows is Chicago PD. Anybody else? I like that show. I can find myself, if I'm not careful, watching hours and hours and hours of TV. Now, you guys don't watch that. I know you don't watch that. You play Game Boys and PlayStations, right? But you can find yourself spending hours and hours and hours playing PlayStation or Game Boy or whatever it is you play. I get behind on that too. And you can find yourself being unproductive. Someone once said, don't count your days. Instead, what? Make your days count. So when the teacher sends home on your report card, so-and-so needs to be more productive with their time, then you need to listen to the teacher. Amen, Katie? Amen. She's a teacher. James is a teacher. Some other youths were teachers. A couple weeks ago, I used this scripture, 2 Peter 3:8. Remember this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Friends, I believe, my opinion, I believe that the reason Jesus tarries is because there are a lot of people in our world and our communities that is not ready. I believe that. Why do some people wait to make a decision? I don't know. But I will tell you this. Jesus is coming back. And you better be ready. It's only been 2,000 years. And 2,000 years in the sight of God is not very long. But I want you to remember this. Eternity is a long time. And you better be ready. Fourth and finally, our Lord tolerates no excuses. In verse 24 through 30, it says, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I'd harvest where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I will receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him, give it to the one who has received the 10 talents. Everyone who has will be given more, and he will be in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside in darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can anyone tell me what Jesus is talking about when he says darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth? He's talking about hell. And basically what he is telling you and telling me, if you don't use it, not only will you lose it, but you'll also receive eternal damnation. I have been around a lot of people, and I have heard them say this. Yeah, I know I'm going to hell. And I just asked a simple question. Really? Do you know what hell's like? Do you know what it will be like when Jesus Christ comes back and he judges every single one of us? Do you really understand what hell's going to be like? Because some people think that hell is a temporary place where you go, and you go there for just a little bit, and then you get burnt up. No. You don't get burnt up. You get burnt forever. And the weeping and gnashing of teeth, they're not temporary. They're forever and ever and ever. And the bottomless pit that the Bible talks about is forever and ever and ever. There's going to be a lot of swearing down there. And there's going to be a lot of people gnashing out each other. And I've heard this also. I have a lot of friends going to hell, and I'm looking forward to going with them. They don't read the same Bible I've been reading. Because when I read about hell, I want you to know it is a terrible, terrible place. And it is not something that happens temporarily. It is something that happens for all eternity. I want you to see something in the text. I want you to look real closely. Because when you see this servant, he makes excuses, first of all, for his master. Oh, I know you're a hard man. I know you worked hard. I know you've gathered where you have not sown. And then he makes excuses for himself. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. So I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. Here it is. I hear a lot of excuses today. I know I need to make a decision for Christ, but I haven't made it. I know I need to be doing this. I know I need to be doing that. I know I need to be reading God's Word more, but I just haven't done it. I know I need to be praying more, but I just haven't done it. You ever heard the song, Excuses, Excuses? You hear them every day. The weather, it's too hot. Goes on and on. Look it up on Google, you'll find it. But there are a lot of excuses in our world today. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture in Luke 14. Just listen, if you will, beginning with verse 16. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, well, I bought a farm or a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me. Another one said, well, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try to get them. Please excuse me. Still another one said, I've just got married, and I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys and the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you order has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servants, go out into the roads, into the country lanes, and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. All these people were invited to the banquet. And they made excuse after excuse after excuse why not to be there. You know what I find in our world today? Excuses. Why people are not stepping up to the plate and using the gift that God has given them for the glory of God. Friends, all that you have is His. Multiple talents, they're all His. And what God is asking you to do is use it. Because not only will you lose it if you're not careful, but you'll also be thrown out. I want to close with this. I'm not going to mention his name except for the fact his name was Kenny. You don't know him. Kenny had one excuse after another. I called on Kenny, invited him to church. And he came for a little bit, and then Kenny quit. I said, Kenny, I've been missing you. He said, yeah, my wife's been working long hours, so if she don't come, I don't want to come. So she didn't come to church. He didn't either. Well, his wife started coming. Well, Kenny got feeling ill. He did have some health issues. He stopped coming. Well, I want to come, but I can't come. So he didn't. Then finally, when he got to feeling better, he came. And I talked to him some more, and I said, Kenny, are you a Christian? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of your sin? And he goes, no. And he made another excuse. I want to, but I've just been putting it off. I said, why, Kenny? He said, because I don't feel worthy. I believe that's where the rubber hit the road in the whole discussion. The whole time, Kenny felt like he wasn't worthy. So I sat down with Kenny, and I said, Kenny, I'm not worthy either. As a matter of fact, Kenny, there's not anybody worthy. When you walk down the aisle and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're not walking down here because you're worthy. You're walking down here because He is worthy. Because He died for you on the cross. And what you're into right now, be very careful. What you're into right now, be very careful. Because God is watching you. So let me ask you, as you fill in the blank underneath, God's given you a talent. What are you going to do with it? Because time is running out. And I want every person in this room to be saved. Jesus wants every person in this world to be saved. What you doing? Let's pray. Father God, this talent is all about working, being involved, using our talents for your kingdom. Lord, I pray for every person here. Lord, help us to take the talent you've been given us and help it to multiply. Lord, help us to use it wisely, because if we don't use it wisely, not only do we lose it, but we lose our salvation. And Lord, I don't want that to happen to anyone. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision, needs to turn their life around, let them do it today. It's in Christ's name we pray, amen.